Barbarian Tribes of Rome, The Burgundians and the Carolingians, Part 3. When Charlemagne died in 814, he left an empire at the height of its power, with a solid foundation and a relatively young successor. Nevertheless, the empire would fully disintegrate within 100 years. Louis the Pious was a very religious man, but was not the leader or planner that his father had been. Though Charlemagne had crowned him emperor, Louis wanted the Pope to crown him after Charlemagne's death. In 816, Pope Stephen IV, 816-817, succeeded Pope Leo III, but in a change of previous policy, Louis did not require the papacy to send its choice to him for confirmation. This changed the status of the papacy, which to some extent had always previously been subordinate to the government authority, previously the Byzantine Emperor and then the Carolingian Empire. The papacy now began to be viewed as being superior to any mortal monarchy. Pope Stephen IV traveled from Rome and crowned Louis emperor, who prostrated himself to indicate his submission to the papacy's authority. This set the very precedent Charlemagne had worked so hard to keep from happening. But as a result, the papacy would be empowered by the tradition to declare the Holy Roman Empire's new emperor. This also set the precedent of acknowledging the leader of the Catholic Church as being above all other monarchs would have massive implications over the next 1,000 years. Louis was very devout, so it seems his title of pious was well earned. It is also interesting to note that he is also known as Louis I, and the French monarchy would regard him as the first French king with the name Louis. There were some external reasons for the fall of the Carolingian Empire, one of which is prominent began to make itself known during Charlemagne's time. In 793, the monastery of Lindisfarne, off the coast of northern England, was suddenly and brutally attacked by a new threat, the Northmen, now known as Vikings. The Vikings' first appearance in mainland Europe was noted in the Frankish annals in the year of 810, meaning they started to appear in Frisia during the years between the waves of raids in England. The attack had a slightly different character compared to the raids in England. This difference would also apply to Vikings' activities in general in Francia and around mainland Europe. Denmark, being so closely connected to the continent, would gather more information about the political developments and rumors of Francia, which spread easily across the borders into Scandinavia. The Carolingian Empire may have survived all these threats if not for the fact that Louis the Pious had more than one son survive him to adulthood. Like the Merovingians before him, Louis divided the empire into kingdoms that would be ruled by his sons, but things did not go smoothly. Louis initially had 3 sons, and he divided his empire accordingly in 817, designating his eldest son Lothar the next emperor. His other 2 sons, Pepin and Louis, would rule in their own kingdoms. The mother of Louis the Pious's children had died, and he decided to remarry. This new wife bore him another son, Charles, in 824. And in 829, Louis changed the succession plan to include his 4th son. His other children, already uncomfortable with sharing power, rebelled against their father. In 833, the bishops of the empire actually took the side of the princes over the emperor, who was forced to make a public apology and become a prisoner under Lothar. The other princes didn't like this, and Louis was freed in 834. Things simplified when Pepin died in 834, but when Louis died in 840, it sparked a civil war. Things would be settled in 843 when the 3 children of Louis the Pious signed the Treaty of Verdun, officially splitting the empire into 3 kingdoms. West Francia went to Charles the Bald, while Eastern Francia went to Louis the German. A central piece of land between the two went to Lothar. Lothar also kept the title of emperor, but with no authority over his brothers, and this middle kingdom is referred to as Lotharingia. The 9th century was complicated and confusing for the Burgundians. Different entities used the name Burgundy to describe themselves, and this evidently led to confusion as to what actually happened and where. By the end of the century, however, the area had become known as the Duchy of Burgundy that was established, and from that point on, the story of Burgundy is no longer that of a kingdom, but of an important, wealthy, and significant part of France. The other parts, which had been Burgundy, were incorporated into the other kingdoms or empires. By 840, each of the 3 brothers was already well enough established in their kingdoms. As a part of the settlement, Burgundy was part of Lothar's Middle Kingdom, and while it was an important part, it was not a separate entity. More importantly, when Lotharingia's borders stretching from Lorraine to Burgundy and as far south as Rome, the kingdom had indefensible lengthy borders and poor internal communications. Thus, it should be little surprise that it did not survive Lothar's death in 855. So next time we'll finish the Carolingians, which I thought we would finish this time, and finish Burgundy as a duchy as well. Now the sources for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Attila the Hun by Worrell, The Burgundians by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths by Burns, and The History of the Vandals by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.